Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for tuning in today to our question and answer webinar from Anne's Health Place, and my name is Anne Elliott. I'm really excited about this show. Today on this question and answer webinar, we're going to answer the common question, can fatigue be fixed? I know, because I get so many emails from so many women that probably the thing that discourages us the most is we wonder if we're going to feel this way the rest of our lives. And I have good news for you tonight that no, you don't have to feel this way the rest of your life. Now, hopefully as I answer reader questions tonight about fatigue, I'll be able to give you some practical steps that you can take today, tonight, to help you get feeling better. Now, a reminder for those of you who are listening live, if you head over to blogtalkradio.com, and that's /Anne Elliott, you can chat with other listeners during the webinar. Now, you have to be a registered member, I think, of Blog Talk Radio in order to chat, but it just takes a moment to register. And I should let you know, I'm not very good at paying attention to the chat while I'm talking. In fact, I don't even have it on my screen at the moment. But as every few minutes, as I get a chance, I'll look over there, and if you have a question for me, I'll try my best to answer it. If I can't answer it tonight, I'll tell you a little later in our webinar how you can get that question to me, and maybe I can answer it next time. Now, I am sorry to tell you that today's webinar will be very useful for you, but incomplete. I just cannot cover everything in such a short time segment. And that's why I'm pretty excited to tell you we have a new e-course coming out this week on our website. It's 16 weeks long, which sounds like a lot, but we wanted to just give you a little bit of information each week so that you would be able to implement it in your life right away. And it's called When You're Too Tired, and it's a woman's practical guide to overcoming fatigue. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later tonight. Now, this is a sample email I got recently. It says, could you please tell me how to get rid of this exhaustion? I'm a homeschooling mom. I'm struggling just to get it together to do daily activities and organize for my school year. I cannot feel like this permanently. Please help. So basically, that's a question that many of us are facing. I have a lot of things on my plate, and yet I'm so tired. I ache all over. I hurt, and I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. So tonight I'm going to summarize my quick answer. How do you fix this problem? That is not the first question you should be asking. Rather, tonight we're going to ask, what caused the problem in the first place? How did you get the fatigue? If you can fix the root problem, the symptoms will go away. So I'm going to repeat that several times tonight and hopefully make that really obvious to all of us that you need to constantly be asking, how did I get so tired? And then you'll be able to figure out what to do for your own personal situation. First of all, I want to list some of the common reasons why women feel fatigue. I just jotted a few down real quick here on my piece of paper. One of the most common reasons we're tired is we just don't get enough sleep. We have so many things going on in our lives that we try to get it all done late at night. For instance, I'm having a webinar tonight, and I know that we are all going to be going to bed soon, and I know for my body I'm going to have some adrenaline going through it, and it might be a little bit hard to sleep. But lack of sleep night after night after night definitely has a toll. But that's just a simple reason. Some other simple reasons are maybe we are just putting too much physical strain on our bodies with exercise or pregnancies one after another. I have 7 children, so I certainly can understand that one. Poor nutrition. That's obviously a cause of fatigue, but it's hard to know what good nutrition is. That's a very controversial topic. And so it feels like a needle in a haystack to try to fix that problem. Other problems are anger and worry. I know you probably can look in your own life and notice how tired you feel after you have gotten mad at somebody or after you are really scared about something. You feel like a truck ran you over. And quite honestly, that's how your body is reacting. Another one is that we women who are fatigued tend to have driven and busy personalities. We like to accomplish about 100 times as many things as the average woman wants to accomplish in her lifetime. I have a goals list for the new year that I already know it's too long, but it sure would be awesome to get it all done, wouldn't it? But honestly, that personality causes fatigue. A lot of times we suffer from marriage problems, or maybe our parenting causes massive amounts of stress in our lives. And so over the years, it takes its toll. Disorganization in our homes, maybe we just never have the laundry done, and week after week after week, we have this nagging feeling that, you know, maybe the checkbook isn't balanced, or we keep forgetting something at the store, or we just can't remember everything that we're supposed to be doing, or we just procrastinate, and over time we feel more and more fatigue. Or maybe we have money problems that can certainly cause a yucky, fatigued feeling, especially if those money problems go on for year after year. I think that's probably a very, very common reason for fatigue, more common than people will let on. But really, then you also have to take into account inherited weaknesses, genetic problems, things that you may have absolutely no control over. Maybe you've had several surgeries. Maybe you have a chronic infection in your body. Whether you know it or not, it's very possible that you do, or maybe you had an infection in the past. That Epstein-Barr virus is a common one, mononucleosis in high school. Maybe you've got autoimmune disorders that your body is constantly having to deal with, and year after year of that, it starts to cause fatigue. Even simple things like allergies to dust and mold, animal dander, pollen, those things can wear out your body. And you might even notice that you have more allergies, more asthma, more reactions to your environment, the more tired you get. And it just seems like this downhill spiral, and it never gets better. Maybe you had some kind of physical trauma or an accident or some kind of violent encounter in your past, and that certainly should be taken into account. I've listed a lot of things. Some of them are really little, like your house is disorganized, and some of them are huge, like you were born with a genetic disorder or you were in a car accident. Some of the things are in your control and some of them are not. And so then we go back to the main question of tonight, and that is, can fatigue be fixed? And it depends on what caused it in the first place. Now, I'm down in my schoolroom tonight and I'm pacing back and forth, and I wish I could show you my whiteboard because I would love to draw you a picture. But what I'm going to do, you all have a checkbook, and I love this illustration. Your body's amount of energy is extremely similar to your checkbook. And when you were born, actually probably from the time you were conceived, you had a set amount of energy reserves in your body checkbook. And each stress that came along, maybe you were formula fed rather than breastfed. We'll just say that one to start out. And that would be one knock against you, one extra little bit of energy that your body needed. But you were a baby, and so you could handle it. As you've grown older, you've had more stressors come along. Some of them you can help, and a lot of them you have absolutely no control over. But each one of them are taking something out of your energy checkbook. And depending on how much you're depositing into your energy checkbook depends on how much fatigue you're feeling today. And so then you can kind of get a picture, looking back over your life, of how much money is left in your energy checkbook, and you may be bouncing all your energy checks every day. You know, you have enough energy to get up out of bed, and by the time you've been out of bed for 15 minutes, you could crawl right back in. And some of you may be even worse than that. Some of you may be just facing minor fatigue, and you just have trouble in the middle of the afternoon, you know, keeping your eyes open. But whatever situation you're in, you can certainly relate to the idea that unless you're putting energy deposits into your energy checkbook, eventually you will bounce. So that is my basic premise tonight, that if you want to recover from fatigue, you have to spend less energy than you're making. So we're going to spend a little bit of time at the beginning here talking about how to spend less energy, and then I'm going to talk about how to deposit more energy into your body's bank account. and then we'll wrap it up with some questions. Okay, first of all, you need to spend less energy than what you're making. The difference between your body and a real checkbook is that it doesn't actually show you the register. Don't you wish you had a little display board across your forehead that would let you see exactly what's going on each day and it kind of give you an update? Okay, by the way, you have 6 units of energy for today. That's a little less than yesterday, so be careful. Don't overdo. Well, you don't have that, but you can learn to monitor your health and keep track in a journal. And over time, you can get a pretty good idea for how much energy you're going to have. I talked about that a little bit more in the e-course. But for tonight, I just want you to note there's 3 ways that you can spend less energy. And if you're feeling like you're just exhausted, then you need to really pay attention to these. So grab a pencil. And here's the first one. The first one is, stop using excessive energy just to digest your food. Your food digestion 3 times a day, 6 times a day, maybe you're too tired and it's just once a day, but your food digestion takes the most energy from your body. It uses both metabolic and digestive enzymes for every bite that you eat, and it needs to convert all of that food into whatever your body needs to survive. And it's a massive withdrawal of energy from your system. The good news is this is definitely something you can control. Food is not optional, but you can control it a lot better than other things. So how do you go about doing that? Well, I just mentioned enzymes a minute ago, and if you've taken any of my courses in the past, you'll know that I talk a lot about enzymes. Enzymes are catalysts that help convert things. So let's say you have a bite of potato. Your potato might have some fat. It's got some carbohydrates there, and maybe you had some chicken with it. So you've got some protein. You need to be able to convert all of those simple types of food, your fats, your carbohydrates, and your protein, into whatever your body needs. It needs to break it down into vitamins and minerals and so many more things. I'm oversimplifying this, obviously. And in order to do that, it uses enzymes. Your body creates enzymes in several different ways, and also some of the food that you eat contains enzymes. So if your body is having to make all the enzymes that it needs in order to digest your food properly, then you can imagine it's using up a lot of energy to do that. If you can eat enzymes with your food, then your body doesn't have to work as hard. Now, again, I'm simplifying this down because it could be really complicated, but think about how simple this really is. Your body can make them or you can eat them. And the more you eat the enzymes instead of making your body do it, the more energy your body will have left over for other things, like spending time with your family and not being crabby and actually not having so much pain. So what are some options that you have? Well, one of the most simple ones is to chew your food really, really well. Now, I know that sounds silly, but when you chew your food, you're breaking it up into very small pieces, and it has a lot of surface area now. I want you to imagine a big, gigantic block made of Legos. And maybe this Lego block is 2 feet by 2 feet and then 2 feet tall. If you had that sitting on your table and you splashed something on it, the liquid that you splashed on this Lego block would only hit the Legos that are on those, how many sides are in a cube? 6 sides, okay? But if you then took the block and you broke it down and you removed every single Lego and you spread them all over your table, now you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Legos everywhere. And then if you splashed water on them, you're going to get a lot more surface area of the Legos wet than if you had just done it when it was in its big cube. So it's the same idea with your food. If you have a piece of chicken, and protein takes quite a bit of enzymes in order to digest. If you just swallow it whole, then the enzymes have to break it down and break it down and break it down and break it down and keep working. It takes a lot more enzymes to digest it. But if you use your teeth and you chew it and you chew it and you chew it and you break it up into very small pieces, in fact, I would suggest breaking it up into like even as far as it's a juice in your mouth. And that's pretty much the golden rule of chewing is turn it into juice. Then your enzymes don't have to do as much work. Your teeth have done a lot of the work for them. So that's a simple step you can take the next time you eat. You would be surprised how much that one little thing can help. Now, another thing you can do is to eat more of your food raw. Raw food that has not been heated over 118 degrees has its enzyme content intact. Now, that would mean your salads, that would mean, well, goodness, you could eat just about anything raw, not guaranteeing that it will taste good, but you can. In fact, the Weston Price Foundation, which I link to a lot on my website, talks about ways that you can ferment your food and actually increase the enzyme content even more than what it had when it came out of a garden. So look for ways to increase the enzyme content and eat more of your food raw. The problem with this is one little problem. When you are really tired, you will have a more difficult time digesting food that is high in fiber. And a lot of your raw foods like salads are very high in fiber and they're just tough to digest. You know, they take a long time. Again, you can chew them. You can juice them. You can do things like that. But sometimes we people that are fatigued crave soup and warm foods. And I think that the reason for that is that our bodies need something that is really simple to digest. So there's a final way that you can digest your food a little easier, and that is to actually take enzyme supplements. Enzymes in a pill are really easy to obtain. You can get them at your local pharmacy. You can certainly get them online. You're looking for ones that have a lot of choices, a lot of enzymes listed on the label. And I like to get one that has HCl, hydrochloric acid, added to it. Just that's my personal preference, but I find it really helps me with my digestion. All right, so adding enzymes, that will help you to stop using so much energy from your own body by supplying some of it with the food that you eat. All right, another thing that you need to do, stop using excessive energy to get the toxins out of your food. All right, this is another area that you can control really simply just by taking the bad things out of your diet. Now, I know that's easier said than done. I know it's tempting to eat bad food, but if you think about all the possible ways that you can feel better, this really is a pretty simple step. Let me list some of the things that you should avoid. The top one in my book would be sugar. Anything with simple sugars in it. They're so difficult for your adrenal glands to digest because they basically set off an alarm reaction in your body. Your body has to secrete a huge, enormous amount of insulin because your blood sugar has to stay at an very exact level. If it gets too high and that blood sugar gets to your brain, then your brain would be damaged. And if it gets too low, your brain also cannot function correctly. Your brain needs exactly the right amount of sugar in it. And when you eat a lot of sugar at once, it sets off alarm bells like crazy. And your body has to send out all of its forces to try to get all of the sugar out of your bloodstream and get it quickly stored so that your brain isn't damaged. And then a couple hours later, because you really didn't have any good nutrition in what you ate, it then has to call in all the forces to get all of the stored sugar out of your cells and back into your blood sugar or into your bloodstream because now it's falling too low and your brain is screaming for the right amount of sugar. So it's a double whammy. It's a whammy right away as your body has to expend great amounts of energy, and then it's a whammy in a couple hours as it then has to do it all over again. You're releasing adrenaline each time this happens, and over the years, this adrenaline then requires cortisol and other hormones to follow it, and your body just, quite honestly, gets depleted more from sugar than almost anything else. So how do you avoid sugar? I'm talking to you after the holidays, and people have been, you know, giving you cookies and cinnamon rolls and fudge, and so now I tell you, you need to avoid sugar, and honestly, you really do. You can make it. You can go to a party without eating sugar. I know you can do it. Try this for just a couple days. The first couple days that you don't eat sugar, your body will probably scream for it even more than normal. But once you get past those first 3-4 days, maybe even a week, your body will calm down, and you will find that you don't need it anymore. But sugar is top of the list of the things that you must avoid. Second thing I would avoid is trans fats. And the labels have changed over the last couple of years, so it's sometimes difficult to tell if you're getting any trans fats. Watch for anything that says hydrogenated on the label or partially hydrogenated. Even if they are saying there are no trans fats, I would avoid it. I would avoid anything that might have a rancid oil in it, such as soybean oil, canola oil I stay away from, anything that says vegetable oil, who knows what that would be. You're safe if you just stick to high-quality oils, and I'll talk about those in a little bit. The reason these are bad is because they cause brain damage, and any time you're damaging your body, you're causing it to have to then try to repair, and trans fats also harm your cell walls, and so your cells cannot function properly, which means your hormone production will suffer, and it harms you at every level of your body. Avoid them like the plague. Try to never eat them. The third thing would be neurotoxins, and the list of neurotoxins is really quite long. You can find a list on my website if you go to the Learning Center. I have articles on nutrition, and you can find some there that will give you a list that you can download. But the basic idea is when you look at the ingredient label of the foods that you buy at your store, and you really need to look at every ingredient label every day, but when you look at those, you want to find things that you could make in your own kitchen. For instance, if you're going to buy cottage cheese, you want something that contains cream and other things like salt, but you want to stay away from things like carrageenan. I don't have any carrageenan in my cupboard. I don't know about you, and I can't really make it, so I avoid it. And that's just a very oversimplified way to avoid neurotoxins. Neurotoxins affect your brain, and they will cause damage permanently. They cause your brain to misfire very rapidly, and then, again, this is a huge stress to your system, and it has to try to repair. So you just need to stay away from anything that is not real food, real honest-to-goodness food, the way God made it. Also, watch out for something that's called natural flavors. Natural flavors are in just about everything, but while they may be natural in their molecular structure, your body cannot recognize them as a natural substance. Just thinking about that for a second. You know, if you're going to eat a strawberry, you can either get just the flavor of a strawberry, which is how they make natural flavoring that tastes like strawberry, or you can actually smush up a strawberry and add it to the food. One of those is a real food, but would probably cost a manufacturer more to put it in, and the other one is quite simply just one isolated molecule that happens to appear in strawberries. And when it's isolated from all of the other things that God created and put in that strawberry, then your body does not recognize it as food. It becomes a neurotoxin. So there is a more complete list on my website of various neurotoxins, and I also include a section of that in my e-course so that you can find out which foods are bad, and you can take a list to the grocery store. The last set of foods that you need to avoid would be grains, wheat, barley, oats, soybeans, anything that is a seed in nature. You need to avoid them unless they have been properly prepared. And this is a huge topic. Again, you can find more information on this if you go to my website. and read the beginner's guide. The beginner's guide section has a lot about how to properly prepare grains. But if you eat seeds that have not been prepared as they have been for centuries until the last 150 years or so here in the United States, if you don't eat them without being properly prepared, then your body will not recognize them again as food, and they become toxic to your system. And I'm going to leave it at that for tonight. But if you can't prepare them properly, maybe you don't have enough energy to add one more thing to your day. Maybe making homemade bread is not something that your muscles will take right now because you're in too much pain. Or maybe you don't have the equipment, you have no idea where to start, and you just don't care. That's fine. In that case, just simply don't eat grains. Don't eat oats. Don't eat soy. Don't eat wheat. Just remove it from your diet. And in fact, some people might need to do that anyway. That's something that you can experiment with. And as you monitor your health and you track different things that you're doing to make changes, you might notice that if you remove some of these things for even a short time, you will feel better. So that's something that you'll have to make a personal decision about. All right, so we talked about stop using excessive energy to digest your food, and we talked about stop using excessive energy to get rid of toxins in your food. And the third thing is you need to reduce any other areas of stress over which you have control. Now, there are lots of things that can cause stress in your life. You cannot control all of them. If you have a 2-year-old who is being potty trained, you will probably have extra stress in your life, and you cannot control that. However, you could control how obedient your 2-year-old is by training them before you potty train. So that's just a silly illustration. I'm thinking of that one because I'm actually potty training recently. But let's see, what are some other things that you have control over? You have control over your time to a certain extent. Sometimes God brings interruptions into your life that you had no idea were coming. We're in the middle of winter here in Minnesota, and maybe I need to be somewhere at 5 o'clock, but my car slides off the road because of the ice and snow, and I'm in the ditch. And so now I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm stuck in the ditch. I have no one to help me. I've got to walk. I call someone on my cell phone and wait. Now I have a huge stress. I can't control that, but I can control my reactions to it. So I'll come back to that in just a second. Maybe your time, you can't control people coming by and visiting, but you can control what time you eat your meals, generally speaking. You can control what time you go to bed at night. You can control your general routine to your day most of the time. And as much as you are able to, making your life simple, structured, and scheduled so it's predictable and your body gets used to it, those things will immensely help your levels of fatigue. Maybe you're too tired right now to even think about a schedule, but if you can, try to put as much routine and order into your day as possible. It really will help. You can control your relationships to a point. You cannot control how other people act towards you, but you can control how you react to them. You can learn to speak with a soft answer instead of responding in anger. You can learn with God's help to not worry about what other people are thinking about you and to sit in the shower and replay conversations that you've had. You can learn with God's help to not have anger or worry. Those two are the top two, I think, that affect fatigue. And if you have trouble with either of those, I know you can relate as I'm talking. And it does take God's help. It takes looking up in the scriptures to see what kind of help can he give you so that you can overcome these sins. These sins can cause fatigue all by themselves with no other problem. You have a perfect diet. You can get your sleep at night. But if you are struggling with anger or worry, then you certainly are going to feel fatigued. Another thing that maybe you can control some of your money problems. Let's say money is something that's causing stress. Maybe there are health problems that are contributing to your fatigue, such as infections that you know about. Maybe your teeth have some infections in the gums, or maybe you are recovering from childbirth or a C-section. Those are some things that you have a little bit of control over. As much as you are able to, you need to reduce stress in every way of your life. Again, your body is like a bank account, and you need to think of every possible area in which energy is being deducted from your bank account, and then you need to stop those deductions as much as possible and still carry on with what you need to do in life. But think about what you're doing in a day. Do you really have to do all of those things at this point in your life? Can you put some of those things on hold until another season and let your body recover? Do you really have to get up as early as you're getting up? Could you get up a little bit later and get more sleep? Or, do you have to be involved in so many activities, or could you stay home a little bit more? Do you have to sign up to, you know, lead every committee and to be involved in every group and activist, you know, thing that comes along? Maybe church ministry opportunities, they're all good. Everything can be good, but is it the best for you at this point in your life? So those are some hard questions that you might need to ask. But unless you spend less energy than you make, you will have fatigue. That's the simple answer. That isn't so simple, is it? I wish it were. I really do. Now, let's talk about how to deposit more energy back into your body's bank account. Okay, I've got three things here too, and they're really similar to the ones I just said. But basically, let's say that you've cut back every area of stress that you can think of, and you just have no, you know, you're eating an excellent diet, you're taking enzymes and eating excellent quality food that has lots of enzymes in it, and you've got a good relationship with everyone you can think of, and you've cut back in every way in your time, and you have lots of time to rest. What can you do to still recover? I want to stop here and give you a couple reader questions that I received. One person said, is it true that once your adrenals are used up that they are gone and your body cannot replenish? And another person wrote to me, is it possible to heal your body completely, especially if you've already damaged it? Well, I think the basic principle, again, is you have to find out what caused the fatigue in the first place and stop those deductions. But let's say you have a bank account and you have overdrawn the account by $500. Oh, boy, would you be under a lot of stress. And now you have the fees that the bank is taking out, and so now it's gone down to $525, and then maybe later it's gone down to $550, and you're under zero that much. Okay, well, you can stop spending in every way possible, and that would be good because you're still at only negative $550. And the next week you get a paycheck, and maybe your paycheck is $300, so it's brought it up to $250 under. But you can't stop spending completely because you need to buy groceries. So, okay, you get my point. Each week as you put a deposit in, you've brought it up a little bit, but it's still under zero. You're still overdrawn, and then there will be more fees taken out. And maybe every week gets a little bit better, but this is just about an impossible situation to fix unless you put a huge deposit in that will get you back up above zero. And even then, you need some cushion in there because surely the car is going to break down sometime and you're going to have another big withdrawal that you weren't expecting. Do you see how similar this is to your body? So, yes, you can stop spending energy, but you have to do more than that. You have to be able to deposit massive amounts of energy back into your body, or you just cannot heal. So can your adrenal glands be used once they're used up? And are they officially gone? Can your body replenish them? The only way you could ever get healed from fatigue is to put in massive deposits of energy. Is that possible? Well, it's hard. Let's put it that way. It's really, really hard. I've been dealing with Addison's disease for several years now, going on 4.5 years, and it's hard. Now, let me tell you some of the problems. My husband and I were just talking about this. A lot of times we take hormone supplements to help our bodies when one hormone is depleted. And you know, so let's say it's a thyroid problem and we can take some Synthroid. Or for me, with Addison's disease, I can take hydrocortisone. I can replace some of these things. If a diabetic's not making insulin, they can take insulin. But what caused the problem in the first place? Why did the body get so depleted that you now have to supplement? Wow, we don't really take a minute to think about that. We just start supplementing with hormones. Maybe it's melatonin. Maybe, you know, it could be a lot of things, progesterone cream. But unless we've stopped what's sucking the energy out and unless we put in massive deposits of new energy, those supplemented hormones are only going to help us for a short time. It's like borrowing from grandma when you're overdrawn by $500. It'll help, but it's only going to help for a short time. You've not really solved the problem, what got you there in the first place. Okay, I need to give you some answers before I run out of time. Let's see, depositing energy in. Number one, you're going to do this through good nutrition. You've got to build up your body's reserves. Oh, here we are, back to food again. Food really is the best way, and this takes a lot of time. This is a very small deposit. It'd be like depositing $5 into that overdrawn bank account, but three times a day. A little $5 here, a little $5 there, just depositing it in. And let's say on Monday you had good nutrition at breakfast and lunch and you deposited $5, but for supper you didn't do so well and you figured, oh, well, that's okay. I did really good at the first two meals, but unfortunately it sucked out $20. So good nutrition, in order to help you with your fatigue, has to be good nutrition consistently. Three times a day at every meal, at every bite that goes in your mouth, and for an extended period of time. Now, I've probably really discouraged you by that statement, but it's a fact. You have to have good nutrition, and you have to do it always. it has to continuously be done, or it won't help. Now, what is good nutrition? Again, supplement with enzymes, or eat foods that have lots of enzymes in them. Secondly, you need fats that you can use to make hormones. Hormones require fat, and the fat that it requires is saturated fat and fat that contains lots of cholesterol. I know that sounds like terrible advice, but it is true that your body has to have the building blocks needed in order to make hormones. And quite simply, saturated fats and cholesterol contain the building blocks. So eggs, coconut oil, butter, those are just some real quick examples of some foods that contain good fats. You need lots of vitamins and minerals that are present in green plants. And green plants can also come not just by vegetables. You need lots of vegetables, but also from meat. Because remember that the animals were eating green plants, chewed them up, digested them well. Hopefully you're getting good quality meat, and that's why I say that. Meat that's been from an animal that saw actual green plants. But anyway, if you are, then those vitamins and minerals were deposited into the meat of the animal, and that's a great way for someone with fatigue to get extra amounts of vitamins and minerals and nutrients of all kinds. So don't just think of it as a salad. Your vegetables can come in a lot of different formats, including meat, if it comes from a healthy animal that actually was fed a diet that consisted of that. And finally, you need minerals such as sodium and potassium. Especially when you're tired, you'll find that you're craving salt. Well, it's going to be one or the other. You're either low in sodium or you're low in potassium. Generally speaking, I find that to be true in just about everybody. If you're low in sodium, you'll know it because you just can't get enough salt. And so go ahead and add a good quality salt to a little bit of your drinking water. You know, maybe half a teaspoon or a teaspoon of good quality salt to 8 ounces of water. If it tastes good to you, then you know you needed it. If it tastes terrible, then you know you didn't need it. That's an easy way to do it. And I find that when you wake up in the morning is a good time to do this because your body is a little bit depleted and a little bit dehydrated at that point. So when you wake up in the morning, go out and get yourself a nice salty cocktail first thing in the morning, if it sounds good to you. I even like to add some fresh lemon juice, some good quality lemon juice to my water, and it just tastes really good. But if it doesn't taste good to you, then you're probably low in potassium. That's the other one. And that's present in a lot of vegetables. It's present in zucchini. It's present in bananas. And you can tell this one if you're getting leg cramps at night or, you know, achy muscles or just general fatigue, but you're not craving salt at all. Maybe another mineral that you might be craving is magnesium. And if that's the case, then you're probably wanting chocolate at every possible instance. So pay attention to what you're craving and go ahead and give your body what it's craving just in a good format. You can get online and Google what, you know, whatever it is that you're craving, and you'd be surprised how many neat articles come up that will help you out and give you some, you know, creative ways to get it into your diet. Okay, so you're going to build up your body's reserves through good nutrition, and you're going to do it consistently day after day after day because these are very small deposits, but they do add up if you do it well. How long do you have to keep eating good? Well, one doctor was asked this, and he said 60 days is minimum. You have to consistently eat well for 60 days. Someone wrote to him after 12 days and said, I don't think your diet works. And he said, well, I didn't call it the 12-day diet. I called it the 60-day diet because it takes that many deposits to start to see a difference. So if you haven't been eating well for 60 days and you still have fatigue, then you just haven't given it enough time. Honestly, I found that if you count back over your life and if you add up how many years you've been feeling this fatigue, maybe you've been feeling this tired for 5 years, then you should multiply 5 times 2 months for each of those years. 2 months for every year you've been tired, that would give you 10 months. So 10 months of consistently eating excellent quality food, of putting those little deposits back in, and you will see a difference. Okay, that gives you an idea anyway of how long it's going to take. Number two, you need to sleep more than you think you need to. So you need to eat better food than more often than you even would think you would need to, and you need to sleep more than you would think you would need to. You just require more rest. That's why you feel fatigued. It's your body telling you you need to rest. And if you don't rest, you won't feel better. What is rest? Let me just give you in a nutshell what I mean by this. I mean that you need to be in bed before 10 o'clock at night. It means that you need to be sleeping in a pitch black room. It's absolutely necessary for hormone production for you to be sleeping in the pitch black. And you can read more about that if you go to my website and click on the tab that says Learning Center. There are articles in there on light and dark, and it will explain that to you and why that's so important. It means that you, if you can at all, arrange your life so that you don't have to get up with an alarm clock, then you should not wake up until you wake up naturally. And that will usually happen between 7 and 9 in the morning. Sometimes when you're really exhausted, it'll even go later, towards 11. I realize that there are a lot of you that just can't happen, which for you, maybe you need to go to bed at 9 o'clock at night and pitch black then to kind of make up for that. If you can take an afternoon nap, by all means, take it. If you're tired in the middle of the afternoon, take a nap. All right? I hate naps too. They just mess up my whole day. I feel totally unproductive and lazy. But when you're tired, you need it. Don't overdo on physical activity such as walking, exercise, shopping, outings with friends, especially on hot summer days or freezing cold winter days like what we are right here in Minnesota. Overdoing on the physical activity, you have to pay for it later. So that's part of getting your rest. And then finally, arrange help from others. If it's going to require you to get more sleep in order to feel better, then what can you do to cover the bases while you're sleeping? Is there someone else that can get up with little ones? Is there someone else in your home that can make breakfast? Is there someone else that can help tuck everybody in? Can you cancel activities for several weeks in the evening so that you are able to get to bed at night? Turn off the TV. Shut up your computer when this webinar is over. Turn off the lights. Read a quiet book that is relaxing, and do everything in your power to get more sleep. Okay, the third thing you can do to deposit energy. This one to me is frustrating, but a fact. And this one is use supplements. You're going to need more supplements than you think you need. Now, I know if money is a problem, real life money, I'm not talking about the fake bank account now, but if your real bank account says I can't afford supplements, then that definitely does make it difficult, doesn't it? But supplements are useful, not for everyone in the world, but when you have fatigue, you need to be making extra deposits of good nutrition. And I wish it weren't true. I wish you could only eat whole foods and that would supply everything you need. But because those are such small deposits and you need some large deposits also, I really am coming to believe that you need some supplements. Some supplements that I'm thinking of are enzymes. I'm going to say it again. That'd be the first one I'd get is enzymes. Cod liver oil and coconut oil are excellent just to have in your house as much as possible and to take faithfully. Probiotics, a good quality probiotic will help your digestion immensely. A whole food multivitamin. And I have some recommendations of ones I like on my website that you can look at. Vitamin C, even 1,000 milligrams or more when you're under stress each day. Vitamin D3, maybe 5,000 to 8,000 milligrams a day. You can get tested and see if you're short in it, but most people are when they have fatigue. And that's a pretty safe amount. B complex and maybe some additional vitamin B5, vitamin B6, and vitamin B12. Those would be some really good ones to give you some energy. Vitamin E, 300 to 600 milligrams a day. Magnesium. And then a newer supplement to me is MSM, the letter M like Mickey Mouse, MSM. And that one is an excellent supplement to give you energy. And you have to take these consistently. You have to take them every day because they work in conjunction with each other. The problem with supplements is you won't be able to digest them as effectively as whole foods because you might be missing a cofactor somewhere that it needs. And so some of it you'll just flush right back out of your system. But some of it you will be able to use. And when you consistently take them, again, just say minimum of 60 days before you see any results from this. But when you do, you will feel so much better. And there are other supplements, too, that your healthcare provider might recommend, such as glandulars from animals and even replacing some hormones. But I'll go into those a little bit more in my e-course because that's a little bit more in-depth than tonight's seminar we can do. Okay. So to summarize, asking the question, how do I fix this problem, is not the first question you should be asking. Rather, you need to say, what caused this fatigue? That's so much wiser. Try to fix the root problem. Stop the flow of energy out as much as possible. Find out what's causing it. And then the symptoms will go away. And then try to put some larger deposits back into your body. More deposits going in than what's coming out. And it basically goes into your food, your amount of sleep you have, how you manage your time, and how you manage stress. Not having anger and worry take over your life. I'm going to sit down here at my computer. We just have a few minutes, and I haven't been paying attention to the chat at all. In fact, my chat just came off. I'm just going to check real quick and make sure that I don't have any questions coming from the chat room. And while that's coming up, I'm going to look here at some other reader questions that were sent to me. Okay. Shouldn't our diet be adequate enough so that we can remove supplements from our daily life? Yes, your diet should be good, but the reality is most of us don't have a good enough diet. I think I've probably answered that. I hope I've answered that question enough for you guys tonight. Can continued adrenal fatigue lead to permanent damage or other disorders in your body? Absolutely, yes, it can. If you think of your hormonal systems as dominoes, when one domino falls over, it affects everything down the line. And yes, it definitely can cause permanent damage or other disorders in your body. So even if you're just feeling slight fatigue right now, you need to fix it. You need to get that root cause found out and get it taken care of so that you don't end up with a much more serious problem down the road. Okay, I'm looking here real quick, and then I will. Well, my computer's not going to cooperate tonight. I can't see my own chat room, so I am very sorry. Let me just tell you real quick about what's going on at my website so that if you have a question you want to submit to me, you can. If you go over to my website at annshealthplace.com, and Ann is spelled with an E, so annshealthplace.com, there are tabs all across the top. I will be offering another webinar next month on the very first Monday. So just like this month, it's the first Monday. I'm going to try to do this every month on the first Monday. And I've designed these webinars to answer the most important questions you have. Now, you can submit a question on my website by clicking on Q&A webinars. You'll see it at the top. And it has a spot for you where you can submit a question. And try to give me at least 3 days in advance of that webinar so that if it's a difficult question, I can look it up. Or I might have to come on and say, I do not know, but maybe I can call up a friend, a doctor, or someone that would know and get some advice. That'd be really fun, don't you think? So try to get those questions submitted to me in advance. When you submit a question, I will also it will capture your email address, and I will only use that to send you a reminder of the webinar. I will not use it for any other purpose. So, and I'll also remind you, say, hey, it's almost 3 days in advance. Try to get those questions to me. All right, so that's one option you can have on my website that's kind of fun. I'm really excited about doing this each month. Secondly, if you'd like to stay up to date on everything that's going on my website, finding out new articles that are there, getting recipes. My husband's a really good cook, and he's been working hard to develop some recipes for you guys, and I'm excited to give them to you. So if you'd like to receive articles and recipes and updates on my website, you'll see a box on there. It says join our mailing list, and you can sign up for our Health Bites e-zine. We have one coming out first thing tomorrow morning, in fact. So if you hurry up and sign up tonight, you can get tomorrow morning's issue of that. It'll be coming out every 2 weeks. So it won't overwhelm your inbox. And then finally, for the month of January only, if you click on the tab that says Too Tired, which I'm assuming you're tired if you're on this call tonight, if you click on that tab, you will have an opportunity during the month of January to take my new e-course on fatigue at a greatly reduced price. We are introducing it. We're working out some of the bugs, and in exchange for being a guinea pig and being the first ones to go through the e-course, we are going to be able to offer it to you at a very low price. And I'm excited about that. It's going to only be this month, so I don't want you to forget about this. It's a 16-week course. So it's just going to be a little bit of information coming to you at one time. And every week you'll receive a new chapter that you can print, and you can place it in a 3-ring binder. And each lesson will have an action guide so that you'll have a record of everything you've learned and a customized plan just for your life that fits you. Not everything I tell you will fit your life, and so I'm going to help you customize it. And that, to me, is one of the best features of the e-course. Now, I'm only going to be offering it during the month of January. Then we're going to take it down, and we're going to help everybody get through the course, and then we're going to release it in a much more expensive version. So please try to take advantage of that now. Just go to annshealthplace.com and click on the tab that says Too Tired, and you'll be able to do that. I think that's just about everything. I so much appreciate everyone coming tonight. Now you need to turn off your computers and get away from it and go lay in bed and think about what I've said and think about the changes that you can begin making tomorrow, even with breakfast, and what are you going to eat that's going to be healthy for you. And if you need more information, you're always welcome to go to my website, to the Learning Center. You'll find lots of articles, so much information there that you won't have time for at all. I promise you'll get some really good help. So, and finally, if you have a question, you're welcome to contact me, and that you'll find that information online too. All right, each one of you are special. I appreciate that you're here. I'm praying that you will recover from your fatigue, that you'll have the energy again to get up and do the things that you know God has planned for your life, and that you will serve Him with whatever energy He gives you, and that you'll dedicate your life to Him. And with that, I'm going to close, and we will hopefully see you again in February.